with Father's Day weekend coming here, and congratulations to dads. And I get to be a dad. I am of three precious now adults and eight grandchildren. And our youngest, Derek, was over the other night. The full family was over, but Derek was showing me the thing with the family tree thing you can get on and find out, and then plugging in so I know what some of my roots are, where I came from. Anyway, and you can see all the little boxes and past generations. You know, we're all going to fit on a box somewhere in this family tree. I guess the question is, so where do we want to fit in, and how do we want to fit in, and how do we want to relate to those around us? It's a choice we make as maybe generations in the future, if God tarries, will reflect on us in the box that we played in that family tree. That's why we're looking back today, just for a moment, to Dad in terms of memories. Now, a lot of the calls we had the other day were from dads that have been deceased. That's not necessary. We're just talking about you. Your dad may be very much alive, and you have a memory of your dad. Because here's the fact. Your memories reflect more about you than they do about your dad. Because I can almost guarantee it, and you can go prove this yourself. Go make a phone call. Call a sibling or two and ask them if they remember your little seemingly insignificant memory. And they probably don't. They'll have their own memories of dad, which may be totally different in intensity and emotion and response than yours, because they're different people. Because we tend to remember those things which are consistent with how we view life. And so today, it's twofold. One is to give tributes to dad, but also to learn a little bit about the power of how we remember those things from our childhood. You can call and leave your comments. We got callers ready, but your comments are welcome at 888-888-1717 is the number. Let me go to Wayne first in Texas. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. Good. What's that memory of dad?
The memory that I picked is where it was the first day of fishing season, and he decided... I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It was a... He decided this year that he did it. He was going to take all us boys. I have three brothers, and he decided to take us all fishing, something that he never did before.
Mm.
So, I mean, it was a great memory, because we knew he didn't like to fish around us children, and he took us just so we could enjoy it.
What is that? Listen, Wayne, can I ask you a question? How old are you?
I'm 60.
All right. That's fine. 60 is a good year. I mean, you don't have to be ashamed of that. That's a good year. So we're talking what? 50 years ago?
Yeah. Well, actually, probably more like 55.
What are those tears about? Yeah. What is the emotion associated with that moment that you're thinking about from 50 plus years ago?
Well, to be honest with you, my dad was a very rough, upset man. He didn't like to physically abuse us or anything like that, but he was not a happy man for the life that he ended up having, type thing. And I mean, I didn't realize it until later in life why, but it's really emotional, because throughout our life, he didn't really show, I mean, we knew he loved us, but it was just a matter of he never really shared good moments with us, I'll say.
Yeah.
You know, where he took time out of something that he liked to allow us to do it with him.
All right, so let's just stop there for a moment. That is a very significant story. This was a moment in your dad's life that was different than what you were accustomed to, and yet he did this, and you felt special. This says something about you today, Wayne, when it comes to your relationships, would be my guess. When people let you know that you matter, that really is a big deal to you. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, I make sure I have, I had 13. Now I have 12 grandchildren. My 17-year-old grandchild died. But, we try to build many memories with those. I tried to build memories with our three children before they become, even though they're adults.
That's right.
We try to make special moments with them.
That's right.
Always.
Good for you.
And I was in the military for 20 years, so I didn't spend a lot of time with my children. I was deployed quite a lot because I want to serve our country. And it's funny because now my children tell me that they have great memories of when I was home.
Oh,
I made those special memories. So,
absolutely.
And my wife did a great job.
There's no surprise. There's no surprise here, Wayne. This is such a powerful call because you illustrate a couple things. If you allow me to just take your story and help others listening. Wayne was deployed. He was out. He was serving the country, which, by the way, thank you. But when you were there, you were there. When you were there, you were invested into your kids and you spent time and you did things and you made memories and you were a part of their lives. Come on, dads, we can be there and not be there. We can be home and not be home. We can be next to our kids and missing them, caught up in the internet or TV or whatever it is. So Wayne just really illustrates for us the power of being there in the moment. Second thing, really important, Wayne's memory. He just said, he went on to say, hey, by the way, my dad was kind of a rough guy, you know, but he didn't focus on that. That isn't why he called. He called to say, my dad took me fishing. My dad took us all out there. I know he didn't want to fish with all of us there bothering him, but he was there and he did that for us. He just told us that moment is more important to him than these other moments. And I think it's a matter of decision in our life sometimes, what we choose to focus on. We can choose to focus on those things from our childhood or from the past or from yesterday or from this morning that we don't like. And we become what we think about over an extended period of time. And part of this is what we hear in the scripture when the Bible tells us to take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. And the principle there is we need to learn to take control of our thinking. If we allow the past and the things of the past to dominate our current thinking patterns, they can be destructive. Or like Wayne, he chooses to really remember that precious moment with Dad that made a difference in his life. And then in turn, he's making a difference in the lives of others. All right, Wayne, thank you for your call from Texas. That's great. Let's take a break. Reflect on that. I'll be right back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
For the Christian, the intentional life should be the normal life. It's the way God intended for us to live. An intentional life isn't something new. Rather, in our culture, it's something that's been ignored and forgotten. You think about the world in which we live and we've grown up in. We get the world pitching to us constantly things like relativism. I can remember when I was going through the university and my degree in counseling and in psychology, learning all the isms of the world. I know all the isms of the world. Learn them all. Some of them have some truth to them. Some of them are just downright crazy. But the reality is, you and I, in our generation, and the younger generation for sure growing up, is being taught something that is different than intentional living. The biblical normal is to live intentionally. The world's message is very unintentional.
Excerpt from the super lesson this month for our members, our community of supporters, called the Intentional Living 101 Basics. And it's available, all of our resources, the things that we teach and so on, the monthly lessons from the last couple of years are up on this exclusive platform for our members only. And if you're not, come and join us. What does that mean? Your monthly support helps us continue. You're kind of giving us a vote of confidence that I'm with you, want to be a part of the ministry. Whatever the amount is up to you. Some people say, I just got to know. Firstborns want to know, how much do I have to, you know, there's no set amount, but generally it's about $1 a day, $30 a month is what people generally do on average. Some do more to make that work, of course, and some less, but whatever. We just want full involvement and to be walking with a lot of folks. And to help us, by the way, here in this month of June, just 2 weeks away from closing up the fiscal year on June 30th with about $40,000 to go. And so I just leave it out there. Whatever God leads you to do, maybe a 13th month gift, or appreciate it if you could give a special love gift on this eve of the close of the fiscal year. We'd appreciate it. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Why do we do a show like this? It's Father's Day, obviously, this weekend. Whenever we put a program on, we are intentional. We want to teach something. We want you to learn something. And what I'm hoping today is coming across is a couple things. One is, Dad, you're making a difference in the lives of your kids. Okay? Being there, being involved, doing what you can. If you can't be there all the time, when you are there, be there. But be involved. Understanding. Number two, that all your children, each of your children is different. Each is different. They're going to remember you differently. I could go home today. I got three kids. I have three adults, two boys and a daughter. And I can tell you right now, their memories of Dad would be different. They'd all have different memories. Oh, wonderful. maybe not. I should ask them. But the reality is they're going to see life differently. So they're going to have different kind of memories from childhood, right? So that's important. Understand that. Which then number three is to help you see that your memories of your dad may not always be truthfully speaking what's going on in your life today. So be aware of that. As you think about the memories of your dad, what do they say? Not only about Dad, but about you today. Reflect on that a little bit. Maybe that'll be helpful to you. Okay, let's get back to the calls. Going to Jennifer in Arizona. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you. What's your memory of Dad?
Well, I lost my father in 2013, and my dad was one of the most gentle, kind, quiet, relaxed men you would ever meet. Mm. I'm the ninth out of 10 kids, and he treated every one of us like we were his only child.
Wow.
After he instilled love, patience, kindness, forgiveness. After he passed and my siblings and I were sitting around, we were all sitting and, you know, you reminisce and look at photos and all of that. And we all said, you know, no, Dad wasn't Jesus, but he walked like him.
Uh-huh.
And that was him. After he passed, I was sitting on my back patio having a uncontrollable crying moment, and he appeared. And let me tell you, sir, the peace that I had at that moment was a peace we will never in our lives feel on earth.
Wow. Amazing. Mysterious, and things happen in our minds, our hearts. Precious memory, Jennifer. Number nine out of 10 kids, but always treating everyone like you're the only child. Because you know what, parents, is sometimes it's easy to have your favorites. You know, for different reasons. Gender, interests, personalities. But for children to grow up and say, hey, he loved me most. That's really the goal, isn't it? Dad always loved me most. No, he loved me most. That's pretty good. All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Great memory. Appreciate it. Let me go to Juanita in Michigan. Hi, Juanita. How are you?
Good.
Good. What's your memory of Dad?
Oh, I got so many. He was the best father I could ever had. He wasn't my real father, but he was my daddy. And he took me on. He gave me his name and raised me. And his first wife, second husband, passed away, and he took on her three kids from him. And so there was 19 of us all together. Wow. With my mom's kids and his kids and their kids. And he was just wonderful. I believe that I was born to give him a second chance to be a good daddy.
How old were you when he came into your life?
My mom had me when they were married.
All right.
My mom cheated on him, and he forgave her and raised me. And
so he is your dad.
Yes, he is.
He is your real dad. Listen, I understand what you're saying, but a dad is the person who's there. There can be people who are biological donors in the process of procreation. That doesn't make a dad. Okay? And since this is a family show, I won't go any further than that. But the reality is, the dad is the guy who's there every day loving you and raising you. That's dad. And that's who that was in your life, Juanita. That's powerful. All right. Thank you for that call. All right. Cynthia, in New Mexico, how are you?
I'm fine.
Appreciate your call. What's your memory of dad?
My dad was the most awesome dad. Most awesome. He taught us how to go fishing and hunting and how to work on cars. Him and my mother had 6 kids, 3 boys, 3 girls, and he didn't treat not one of us different from the other. You know, we were all daddy's girls and they were daddy's boys, but not only did he take the boys hunting and taught them how to, you know, hunt and fish, he took us to the most wonderful campings and to work on our cars. And, you know, one day I said, why are you teaching me how to work on a car? I don't care about a car. And he says, you're going to drive it and I'm not going to be here forever. And I thank God that he gave me a dad that taught me so, so much.
That's great.
And loved me so much, and just the love that he had for his wife and for his family.
Mm.
He was most awesome. And before he passed, you know, he told us, you know, to never take our eyes off of God. You know, that our life could be so much better if we just kept our eyes on God. And he didn't accept the Lord until like 2 years before he passed. But he never stopped us, you know, from going to church. He encouraged my mother to take us. And, you know, we used to go to a family camp every year up in New Mexico. And it was through the Assemblies of God. And he was always there. Every year he would go, you know, on this camp with family. And to this day, we still go, you know, the family still meets up there.
Well, and you know, they all talk about, Cynthia, I think you have a kindred spirit here in our studio. Miss Jennifer over here was telling me about her dad, and you know how to change the oil, Jennifer, right?
I do. Maybe not on today's cars, but Cynthia, I heard my story in your story. I'm the youngest of 3.
He even helped me rebuild my car. motor on my car.
He didn't treat me. I don't think my dad knew how to treat a girl different. He just treated me like one of the boys, just like Cynthia's dad did with her. And I think it really helped shape me and who I am today, especially after hearing what you had to say, Dr. Randy, that it does do that.
Yeah.
Because I am not afraid to get my hands dirty. I'll go out and work in the yard and do gardening, and I'll go out and we had landscape rock, and I was shoveling it and putting it down. So
what are you doing Saturday?
Hopefully nothing.
Oh, okay. All right. Just a thought. Donna wanted some rock spread. So I just, you know.
But it was a nice memory. And I think it helped shape who I am and make me pretty independent.
Yeah. It's good. It's good stuff. All right. Hey, Cynthia, thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And I hope you all have a great Father's Day. Let's take a quick break. We're going to be back. Got a couple more calls before we wrap it up today. Talking about the memories of dad, what we learn about dad, what we learn about ourselves, and hopefully today, come on, dads, learning how we can be the kind of father that God intends for us to be in our own homes.
I just wanted to thank Intentional Living. Life can get so overwhelming. Focusing on one thing has really helped me just be present, because I feel the presence of God.
With your support, the lives of people like Donna are changed, and they can experience God in a new way.
I love you guys. Thank you. You're making a big difference.
Support Intentional Living today with a monthly gift, and you'll be a part of a special group that gets unlimited access to Dr. Randy's life-changing monthly teachings from the past 2 years.
This month, we have an incredible opportunity, as some friends in the ministry will match your gift dollar for dollar up to $19,000 right now. To receive unlimited access to Dr. Randy's teachings and send in your matching gift, call 888-888-1717 today, or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And by the way, thank you so very much. As we wrap up this fiscal year here in June for the ministry, your support here in the next couple weeks, wow, matters a lot. Thank you for taking time to either call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or going over to theintentionallife.com. Sherry is in Georgia. Hi, Sherry. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Good. What's your memory of Dad?
Well, my daddy was not a Christian when I was little. And about the age of five, when I was five, he became a Christian. I remember the first time he prayed in church. I remember seeing him ordained as a deacon. And then by the time I was 11 or 12, somebody invited him to go on a short-term mission project to Central America. And that was just became his passion. Mm. He did, by the time, within a few years, he was organizing the trips. He was a light of fire, kick a tire type of person. If he saw a need, he was going to do it. He was a civil engineer, and so he designed orphanages, dental clinics. He designed two hanging foot bridges that were built in Honduras. And he passed away when I was 23. And at the time of his death, he was designing a water treatment facility for the town of Guasco in Honduras, which they finished after his death. And I remember he was supposed to build my husband and me a log cabin. He was going to design one, and a friend of his in trade for designing some cabins was going to give him the timber, the logs. And I said, Daddy, have you worked on the house plans? He said, no. So we got to make sure these people in Honduras have clean water.
Wow.
And, he did more in 20 years or less, 18 years of his life as a Christian than most people do. And that was just always been, that's just how, if I could just be any part of that. I never got to go on a trip with him. I always thought I would and kind of put it off. And never did. But I realized later that God called me to the children in my church and my community.
Yeah.
And that's sort of my mission field. I do vacation Bible schools and teach Sunday school, things like that, and out in the community.
So. I bet your dad would be really proud to know exactly what you're doing, investing in lives of others. That's your calling. Yeah. And your dad gave you a good blueprint on how to live, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really took charge and, just really, when he saw a need, he wanted to fill it. And he shared Jesus with people. And, he was just an awesome example.
That's good. Thank you for that. Yeah, we got so many really precious calls coming in. I want to share a little bit about how this message today and how you live your life makes a difference. What you do next makes a difference. And I want to teach you a little bit about what intentional living can do for you and where you are today. But first, I want to hear from Jean Marie in Arizona with a story about Dad. What's your early memory of Dad, Jean Marie?
Thank you. My memory is a fun memory. My dad was an Irishman through and through, and every St. Patrick's Day, he would speak to my sister and I like a leprechaun, and he would take us both out for shamrock shakes at McDonald's.
Interesting.
Always wore green. You had to wear green on St. Patrick's Day, and what's great now is I have two children. Unfortunately, he passed away before he met them, but every St. Patrick's Day, I can't do the leprechaun. one, but we always go for Shamrock Shakes, and I tell them all about their pop-up.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Thank you, Jean Marie. Appreciate it. You know, we're down to a couple minutes here. If you're new to Intentional Living, you found us in the podcast or on the radio broadcast, somewhere around the country or listening around the world, here's what we believe. We believe that you and I and every person can make one of three choices when it comes to choosing how we live, how we're going to experience this brief time that we have on the planet. And one choice is to live as other people intend it for us. This is a bondage way of living, in fear of people. Maybe it's the way you were raised. Maybe it's never felt like you were capable, never felt like you had an identity, never knew who you were. Hey, listen, God has something really special for you. But if you find yourself caught in that bondage of fear of living not the way God intended for you, but the way others do, you're really subject to what it says in Proverbs 29:25, that the fear of man brings a snare, and you feel like you're in a trap, a snare. There's freedom. There's hope. Or maybe you're this kind of a person. You live as you intend, and that's the message of the world today. Forget what anybody else thinks. Do what you want to do. You matter most. Have it your way, right? That's risky. In fact, it says in Proverbs 28 that whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. You lost your mind. You're a fool. That's what it says. Here's what we believe. Here's what we teach. Here's what we try to live. Life is tough, but to live as God intended. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. It's the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like onto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And when we study Scripture and we understand that God's intentions about marriage, God's intention about finance and work are clear, and they're loving, they're great, when you and I choose to live intentionally, we find a whole lot more freedom, less regret, and more joy and purpose. And that's what we do every day. We just try to plant seeds to understand that God's intention for you first is to come to Him in a relationship with Him. If you don't know Him today, you simply say, Lord, I'm lost and I need you. Come into my life. I'm a sinner and I need you. Forgive me, and I want to be your son or daughter. And He'll receive you. And then begin the process to get plugged into a Bible teaching church. I hope the radio is a great support to you, Intentional Living, as we teach what does it mean every day to live and experience life as God intended. That's why we're here. Thanks to the team for supporting all this, and thanks for you for listening today. I got to run. God bless you. I'm Randy, and I'll see you next time from Intentional Living.